Once again, I'm Lindsay Slaughter from the University of Tennessee at Martin. And this, my part in this project, is part of a two-year study in fulfillment for a scholarship organization and in coordination with my major field of study and my advisor, Dr. Gale. The university became interested in experimenting with composting the food waste from the cafeteria in order to lower their waste stream and also to reduce costs of waste management. And I was given the opportunity to help establish this compost project by doing some of the initial research for feasibility analysis. And these are the first 2 years. Some of the objectives that I had with this study was to establish a full functional composting operation. And to do this, I evaluated the maturity of the compost, find a feasible timeline for that, potential detriment to the environment, see how it affected the area around it, possible application methods for the compost and the nutrients involved in that, and the overall feasibility operation, including how much effort it took to get a composting operation started, the amount of participation we had in it, and of course cost. We decided to go with the super cheap route without investing anything initially in the project. We, University of Tennessee at Martin, is located in the upper northwest corner of Tennessee, right here, which is in the southeastern United States. The site is in the southern Mississippi Valley silty uplands. The dominant soil on the site is Loring and Collins silt loam. It is a disturbed site. It's on the UTM research farm across the road from our main campus, and it's a small out-of-the-way site next to some soybean fields, and our swine facilities are off in this direction. Our waste stream consists of food waste from the cafeteria and agricultural waste from the ag pavilion, which consists of manure and bedding, shavings, and such. We have an open windrow operation. This row one was our first row, started in fall of 2008 at the beginning of this project. Our second row was begun in spring 2009. It's still our active pile. And as you can see, it's just open, like deposited directly on site. The first thing we did was find an optimum carbon nitrogen ratio for our waste stream. The ideal compost ratio is 30:1. We use this combusted carbon in a muffle furnace for total carbon and total Kelvin nitrogen analysis for the nitrogen portion. We found that our food ratio was about 13:1, our ag waste ratio was about 63:1. Since the waste stream is so variable, you know, different things every day at the cafeteria, different levels of food, there was a lot of sampling involved, a lot of averaging, and this is what we came up with. The easiest way to get a nice estimate of your compost mixture, especially with just two ingredients, is a Pearson square, where you have your food waste and your ag waste, and we end up with about a 2:1 ratio for a compost mixture, two parts food waste, one part ag waste. Forgot to mention also the carbon nitrogen, the reason that was the first thing we analyzed. Carbon nitrogen ratio is the most commonly measured characteristic and indicator of compost quality and nutrient content. If your ratio is too high, you have the microbes will compete with the plants for nitrogen, and if it's too low, you'll have excess nitrogen, which can lead to ammonification and odorous emissions from your pile. So that was why we did that. A little bit about composting. It consists of two phases. There's the active composting phase, where the microbes are most active, doing the hardest work. This will heat your pile up and to between 120 to 150 or 60 degrees Fahrenheit. And that'll last until the microbes in the pile have started to deplete some of the substrate, and they'll enter into a longer curing phase where it'll level out, and eventually, ideally, your compost pile will generate no heat because there will be almost no biological activity, and they'll have a stable byproduct. And the curing phase lasts a little bit longer. Some of the studies that we did with this project, first we analyzed it for maturity, and then there was an area influence study to determine pollution around the pile, and then I'll talk about our compost tea, which is one of my application methods that I studied. I'll also tell you some of the other observations that we found with the pile, which is my favorite part, and what we learned from the two-year study. So compost temperatures, like I showed you in that temperature graph back, the blue line that you see here is the ambient temperature we measured from August 2008 when the first pile was started to October 2009 when I ended this study. The red line here is our row one compost, which I consider our mature pile. You can see that it entered the active composting phase and then leveled off, and it was a really hot summer there, so it generated a little heat, but it was still in the curing phase at that point. The green line that you see here is our row two, our still active pile, and I think they're still adding food to the pile at this point too, so it's still getting up into the active phase. The second way that we evaluated compost maturity was carbon dioxide respiration study. I used a simple incubation study on the row one compost. There was a spring 2009 sample when the temperature was just starting to slack off. It was about to enter the curing phase, and as you can see, there was still a lot of respiration from the pile, and the samples were widely varied. And by fall 2009, in the later part of the curing stage for row one, respiration had greatly decreased with very little variability between samples. So from that, we can conclude that in our open windrow with our climate, about a year is a good time frame to achieve mature compost. And with our limited space, we only have two piles right now, we can be cycling those out very feasibly. Some concerns were raised about potential pollution from the pile. You can see this little path of leachate running around the tip of row one. This is our row one. And to evaluate that, we took an undergraduate course out and the soil and water conservation class and had them take soil samples from 23 points around the pile. The flow of of runoff would be going this way. And here's the path of leachate that I showed you in that last picture. And we took 23 samples from around the pile, and they took them back into the lab, and for their own course, they did their nutrient tests and everything, and I used those same samples to do nitrate nitrogen concentrations around the pile. I chose nitrate because that's the form of nitrogen that's available to plants, but can also very easily turn into a pollutant via toxic levels. And I've color-coded this. This is the A's, like the averages for nitrate concentration right there. Here is where you saw that initial kind of burned area at the end of the path of leachate. That's the green, and then so on and so forth. As you can see from this, the only place around the piles where we found elevated nitrate nitrogen concentrations was right there at the very tip of that sort of burned-looking area at the path of leachate. So from this, we can determine it's not greatly affecting the area around it except just right in front of the pile. It's not really going anywhere at this point. But this would be a good opportunity for further research. I'd like to see this study replicated and see how it turns out a year or two from now. One of my methods for possible application of the compost is compost tea. Compost tea is very popular with organic farmers right now. It's basically you just make a water extract of your solid compost. It's some people who are really big supporters of it will say it's like a super concentrated nutrient soup that you can make from your compost, and I decided to do some different dilutions of it in closed vessels and evaluate the nutrients that I got out of that and see how feasible it would be to use it in our operation. I did a 1-to-1, a 2-to-1, and a 4-to-1 dilution of water to compost. So the 1-to-1 is about 50%, and in the 4-to-1 there's about 4 cups of water to 1 cup of compost, and so on. I evaluated for potassium, phosphorus, nitrate, and ammonium. You can see from this that you get out of your tea what you put into your tea. The closer you are to having pure compost, and the more nutrients you'll have. So really the only reason I can think of to apply compost in tea form would be if it was more practical to apply as a liquid rather than a solid. The nitrate and ammonium, as you can see, are flipped. I did show that they were closed containers, and the 1-to-1 tea, having more compost, you also put more microbes in there. So it was more likely to go anaerobic, so more of that nitrate was converted into ammonium in the 1-to-1 tea container. So not sure if we're still going to use compost yeast at this point. We'll probably use it if it's easier to apply it as a liquid, but generally I would just apply it in solid form. It's probably the most feasible. You get more nutrients out of it. Some of the other observations that we had in our fresh off the ground composting operation, we didn't have very many increased vermin problems. We did have meat in our pile. It was just all the food from the cafeteria. The first thing you'll think about is they're going to have increased vermin populations. It was not evident. The picture that I have here of the raccoon was an entomology student was doing some studies around the pile, and they set up a night vision camera, and best we got was a couple of raccoons and maybe a skunk or two. I have a nice picture of them walking away from the pile, a raccoon with a big piece of pizza stuck in his mouth, but it was not obvious around the site that there had been vermin populations there. They weren't dragging the trash around or anything, so it was fine at that point. Also, it was very easy to manage. It's basically a 2 or 3 man operation. Our farm manager, Donald Parham, would turn the pile every week or so whenever he got time, and he would deposit the ag waste with his tractor bucket. And then our workers in the cafeteria would just come and deposit their food waste every day or so. And we were diverting over 500 pounds of food waste a day. Also, around the margins of the pile, whereas some of it had gotten scattered and wasn't included in the regular pile, I know the compost can support plant life because all the seeds from the various food that was deposited there would start growing in the fall. And so we had cantaloupe and squash and zucchini and just a little bit of everything there. I found a pumpkin this big. It was pretty exciting. The biggest problem we had with the compost operation was regulation of the waste stream. If you're interested in starting a compost operation, I would really focus on communication with everyone participated and make sure that people know why they're having to sort their trash and what's happening to it, and that you do, in fact, have compost operation. The workers from the cafeteria and the students wouldn't understand. They didn't know that they were having to sort their trash, or some of them didn't even know that we had an operation. And so if you don't really take care of your compost pile, it can eventually start to look like a dump. And the straws in particular were a problem because they were small enough to pass through a 1-inch sieve that we used to separate our finished product. So you could when you go to apply the compost, you can very easily end up scattering a bunch of straws around with your compost. But we are working on that, increasing communication with cafeteria workers and students and letting them know what's going on, and we're hoping to alleviate that in the future. From the study, we learned that composting is a viable waste management solution. And we know that we cut our food waste from the cafeteria, the waste stream, down to about a third of what it was, with significant savings involved in that, plus what we saved from not having to haul off any of our agricultural waste from the ag pavilion. So it was very inexpensive, and we didn't invest anything in it initially. Now that the operation has proven solidly successful, we'll probably start maybe invest in a turner or a sieve or something like that. It was easy to manage, like I said, 2 or 3 man operation. There wasn't really any pollution around the pile, and it was a great educational opportunity. There were at least probably 2 or 3 undergraduate classes who were using this as a study site, including the mammalogy class and the soil and water conservation class. Also, if you're planning on beginning a compost operation, the most important thing is to make sure it doesn't start to look more like a landfill. But we would greatly encourage anybody to consider composting as a waste management solution for an institution. I'd be happy to hear your questions. Oh, yes, we just used 2 or 3 foot long field temperature probe, and I stuck it into the pile about 2 feet deep, trying to reach that active inner portion of the pile at a couple, maybe 5 points around the pile, and took the average every week or every other day. It was every other day whenever it was in the active phase to monitor how that was going, and then when it slowed down, I'm just doing every week. Yes. I did not monitor any of that, but I have been thinking a lot about it. I think that would be a great opportunity for another undergraduate student to do research on. But I've had a lot of questions about that, so it's a very good question. Yes. No, there's only one man in our university who knows that number, and I've been trying to get in contact with him to see if I can get one, and I haven't really been supplied with anything. All I know for sure is that it was reduced the waste stream to 1/3 of what it was, so I would assume we've had very significant savings. Yes? Yes. Actually, our row one, the mature pile, is almost gone at this point. They're using it around campus whenever they can. And whenever it had first started, like before it was really being used for anything else, we'd used it for a community garden as fertilizer for that. So it was pretty interesting. It is being utilized. Any more questions? No? Okay. Thank you.